Good afternoon. It is one incredible Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. We are halfway to the weekend. This week is flying by, as it always seems to do. Man, life goes by so fast. You got to try to love every day, even if your day sucks. And man, if a day starts out and it just sucks or something happens in your day, try to turn it around. Because, you know, again, these days go by so fast, and I don't want to be philosophical here, but, you know, we never get these days back. All right, so the French Quarter Fest has announced the stage and times of this year's lineup. Again, this is a free festival. 300 artists will perform across the French Quarter and Waldenburg Park, April the 10th through the 13th. So it's a month away. French Quarter Fest is 1 month away. Hopefully the weather's going to be great for that. And I know my friend Amanda Shaw will be part of that and many, many others. And we'll talk more about that as we get a little closer to it. Hey, this weekend, you know, we've got the same forecast that we had last weekend. Saturday supposed to be really rainy, might be severe storms in some places. We heard that last week. And I don't know about you, but here at West End, it turned out to be a really, really nice. Well, it didn't rain. It was cloudy, but it turned out to be a decent Saturday. Sunday was beautiful, and this week is supposed to be the same. And Sunday is the day of the big St. Patrick's Day Parade, Metairie Road, and also the Crew of Argus, which did not roll because of wind warnings on Mardi Gras Day. The Crew of Argus is going to roll with the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Metairie Road. So it's going to be a great day. It's going to start early. Usually the parade starts at noon. It's going to start at 10 a.m. So it's going to be a long parade, but it's not going to go on any longer. And, you know, Argus is a contained parade. Argus is not like this endless parade. So, it's going to be a great afternoon, and it looks like the weather is going to be incredible for that. And then there's the Irish Channel Parade scheduled for Saturday, and I think that they're still deciding what they're going to do with that. But, you know, hopefully the weather turns out this Saturday to be as good as it was last Saturday with no rain. But, you know, once again, they're predicting a possibility of some severe weather. All right, we got to talk about this federal judge agreeing to block Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution. And so this has stopped the execution from going forward. You know, I've said this many times. I have ambivalent feelings about the death penalty. You know, I mean, obviously, When you think about and read about the crimes these people committed, you know, there's a side of me that says, yeah, kill them. But then there's another side of me that wonders about the calculated taking of a human life. And while the people on death row may have calculated a killing as well, it was more of an instant thing than something that is drawn out over time, and we're just preparing and calculating for this killing of a human being. And again, I know I can argue that they're not even human beings. I get it. That's why I say I'm really ambivalent about the death penalty. But anyway, I'll share some thoughts with you about this. And also, you know, my concern is, you know, why does the death penalty have to be so damn humane? All right, we're going to get into that. By the way, I'm doing the show from my studio in my apartment at West End. So I've got the windows open, the doors open. So I don't know if you hear a dog bark or something like that. I don't have a dog in the studio or in my apartment. It's just outside. But I can hear the wind blowing in my microphone. So, you know, I've got everything open because it is such a beautiful afternoon. Donald Trump is threatening Vladimir Putin with devastating punishment. Wait, let me read that again. Donald Trump is threatening Vladimir Putin with devastating punishment if he does not accept the Ukraine ceasefire deal. Go, Donald. Go, Donald. Go, Donald. I'm happy about that. That's good. Good news. Standing up to Russia. It may all be orchestrated. You know, we don't know. So there's more coming up about Canada being the 51st state. There's more coming out about a conversation that Donald Trump had with Justin Trudeau, who is the Prime Minister of Canada, who Donald Trump refers to as Governor Trudeau, as if Canada were a state. Because if Canada became the 51st state, the Prime Minister would become the Governor. I don't think this is going to happen, but now there's a dispute over the Great Lakes and sort of redefining the U.S.-Canadian border, which I think goes back to 1903. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. This seems to be nothing more than an ego trip. And speaking of ego trips, Mayor Cantrell is on another ego trip. This time she's gone to Washington, D.C. And there's a question about whether or not the city council is going to punish her. As I said yesterday, I don't think they have a choice. They have to punish her. I mean, you can't set up a law, set up an ordinance, and have the mayor defy it and not punish her. I mean, you can't do that. Now, what are you going to do to her? I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that. But I mean, I honestly believe that the city council has no choice but to hold the mayor accountable and punish her in some way that hurts for ignoring the rule. And again, this is the arrogance of Mayor Cantrell. We're going to talk about this this afternoon. And I'd love to talk to anybody who voted for Cantrell, maybe not once, maybe even twice, who regrets voting for her. Because Mayor Cantrell really changed after she was elected a second time. In a way, it's not even your fault. She conned you. She conned you into thinking that she was one way. As soon as she was reelected and she knew she didn't have to face the voters again. You see, she really never cared about the voters. She only cared about getting elected and reelected. And once she was reelected, her true colors came out. She didn't care about the voters. She cared about herself, and she did whatever the hell she wanted to do. And this is just another arrogant stab into the heart of the tax-paying citizens of the city of New Orleans. So, yeah, we'll talk about that this afternoon. All right, so there was some fireworks at the White House press room with Caroline Leavitt. There was an AP reporter who, she said, asked a very insulting question on tariffs. And Fox News' Peter Doocy, who I've always considered to be rather right-wing. In fact, I'd put him right there on the threshold of a right-wing radical. He is really, he's kind of criticizing Donald Trump over the whole tariff war that's going on. Mark Levin is criticizing Donald Trump for even negotiating or even considering talking to Hamas. And so there are diehard Trump supporters who are turning on Donald Trump. This is a very interesting time. He still has a lot of support. I mean, his approval rating is down. His approval rating on the economy is way down. And we'll talk about that this afternoon as well. So you know that Donald Trump is suing CBS and 60 Minutes because they edited an interview with Kamala Harris when she was running for president. This was during the campaign. They edited an interview. And Donald Trump said they edited the interview to make her look good. Well, to that, I say, so what? I mean, Fox News edited interviews to make Donald Trump look good during the entire campaign. I mean, they did. Well, now Sean Hannity has edited an interview with White House press secretary. Well, not an interview, but they have edited Caroline Leavitt from her podium at the White House press room. They've edited an interview to make her look good. I mean, this happens. And I'm so glad that CBS has filed a motion now to dismiss the suit because it's absurd and ridiculous and stupid, and it is a direct threat to the First Amendment. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Yesterday, Donald Trump turned the White House into a car dealership. It was a Tesla dealership. I agree with Donald Trump about not vandalizing Teslas owned by people. I agree with Donald Trump talking about not vandalizing Tesla dealerships, and this is something that has happened because this is how much some people hate Elon Musk. I mean, there are people who are loathing this guy. There are people who are scared of this guy. So dealerships and cars have been vandalized. And look, that's not right. That's destruction of property. And Donald Trump says that if you attack a Tesla dealership, that's going to be considered domestic terrorism. Well, it's not by definition domestic terrorism, because domestic terror, I guess there might be a stretch there where it could be. But terrorism is defined as something that is motivated by politics. And so I guess it would apply to Elon Musk. But it's generally about a political about a political agenda, a political ideology. Terrorism is defined as being motivated by religion. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it would apply in this case. But I don't think you should be considered a domestic terrorist. I think that's a definition that we should hold for those who are really domestic terrorists. I mean, you could argue that anybody that vandalizes anything is a domestic terrorist, even though there is this idea of getting back at Elon Musk. But look, for those of you who think that everything is kosher with the Trump administration, don't think that, because there are a lot of people who are rebelling, and there are some diehard Trump supporters who are turning against the Trump administration and turning against Trump in this whole tariff war setup. You know, we don't know how this is going to end, but a lot of people are being hurt right now. So again, there is a lot to talk about, but I agree with Donald Trump. Let me just say it again for those who don't hear it. I agree with Donald Trump. You shouldn't vandalize Teslas because they're owned by somebody, and you shouldn't vandalize a Tesla dealership because that's somebody's business. I think the Donald bought one for one of his grandkids, bought a Tesla for that. They're over $100,000. And those Teslas that were at the White House, these are expensive cars, and this does not relate to Donald Trump's base. So it's interesting that he was there promoting Tesla, because again, it's political payback to Elon Musk for the millions and millions and millions of dollars that Elon Musk gave to Donald Trump to help him get elected. And I think there's $100 million that Elon Musk is now willing to put toward the re-election of Republicans in the midterm elections. So I'm Scoot. If you do want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Oak and Hart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He is at the controls in the studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you too as well. How are you, bud?
God, I'm great. What a great day.
I know. I wish we could go be broadcasting from outside somehow, but
yeah, I almost feel like I am. I've got the door to my balcony opened. I've got the windows open here, and I've got a glimpse of I can see part of the lake from my apartment. There's the studio here. And it's nice. It's just a great day. And have you enjoyed more light at the end of the day?
Oh, yeah, big time. I think my body is still kind of getting used to the change. I know we spent some time last week talking about, you know, how much of your circadian rhythms are really disrupted if you lose an hour's sleep, because you lose an hour's sleep all the time. My sleep schedule in particular, is pretty chaotic. You know, it's always staying up an hour too late or getting up an hour too early, so who knows? But it is true that I have felt a little extra fatigue in the last couple of days.
Well, it's interesting. You know, maybe there's a little something to what some of the experts say, but I think it's really blown up out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're losing an hour of sleep, and, you know, I don't know about you, I don't have a problem. I wake up early, but then I feel like I need to go back to sleep. I mean, I wake up and I'm totally awake, and then I get tired and go back to sleep, but you know, I've been going to bed at like 2 o'clock, 2:30, and waking up at 6, and that's not good. I mean, that's taking its toll, and I'm not at my best if I'm not getting enough sleep, and I'm truly not getting enough sleep. A lot of you who are parents know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with some of your text messages. And if you want to join us, the Oak and Hart Jewelers talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. Also, this afternoon, I want to talk about some of the celebrities that refuse to take pictures with fans. And I have a definite opinion about this. Scarlett Johansson admits that she, and this is a new story, she admits that she refuses to take pictures with fans even though it offends the fans. And we'll get into this a little bit later this afternoon. And I've got a list of a few of the current stars and celebrities who refuse to take pictures with their fans. How do you feel about that? You know, a few of them say, well, I'm not working right now, so, you know, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave me alone. But I mean, you know, you support somebody as a fan and they just want to take a picture with you. Is that a big deal? Now, there are times that, you know, you don't want to be bothered. I mean, there was the time that a guy came up to me and I was eating. He came up to my table and I forgot what I had ordered, but there were French fries on my plate. There was this guy, he came up and started talking to me, listens to the show. He started eating the French fries off my plate. And I thought, you know, whoa, wait a minute. This is a little weird. I asked him if he would please stop. But anyway, we'll talk about the celebrities that refuse to take pictures with fans. All right, so we got to talk about Mayor Cantrell. And should the city council punish her and anybody who supported LaToya Cantrell? Do you have any regrets for having voted for her? LaToya Cantrell is arrogant. She is arrogant beyond the definition of being arrogant. Mayor Cantrell is a prima donna at the expense of the citizens of New Orleans. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, I mean, maybe Mayor Cantrell is just doing the best she can. Maybe she just can't help it. Maybe it's in, just in her DNA to be mean and ugly and hateful and just inconsiderate of voters and to be totally egotistical. I mean, we know people like that. You know people like that. I know people like that. There are people who are just so driven by their ego that their ego does not allow them to have any empathy or understanding of the idea that there are other people on this planet. They don't understand that, excuse me, that anybody else matters. Only they matter. I can't imagine what it would be to be like that. I mean, I at this point in my life, I wish I were the Tin Man. You know, that was the character in The Wizard of Oz that didn't have a heart. I wish I didn't have a heart. I wish I didn't worry about things. I wish I didn't care so much about some things. It would be really nice to be the Tin Man. And Mayor Cantrell is the Tin Woman in a lot of ways. So what can the city council do? I mean, they definitely should punish her. We'll talk about that. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Tony, who's on the road. Tony, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi, I think you're on to something with Mayor Cantrell not having empathy for anyone else. I don't know which character she would be in The Wizard of Oz, but it's more like she thinks she's invisible. We've seen so many pictures where she's just doing horrible things, and does she not think that people are going to see that or there'll be a photo taken?
Well, that's what I mean when I say she's so arrogant and egotistical that she just doesn't even think that there's anybody else around that matters other than her.
I can't identify with that either, but if there's a law, then there's a lawyer and there's a judge somewhere that will back up the city council when they take this out of her paycheck, this trip, and all of the unnecessary illegal expenditures. Once they pass that law, it's on the books that she violated the law. And I think the best punishment would just be take it out of her check. She'll feel that. But what I really wanted to talk to you about was the burning of those Tesla cars. There's mobs of people, so it's organized. And it should be labeled environmental terrorism. Because a lithium battery takes on the same qualities as mercury or lead. When you increase the heat or change, you know, it can change, you can breathe it. It's a heavy metal. So it's horrible that they would burn any car because you get the tires and the batteries and everything involved.
This is
how hypocritical for the left who says that they love the environment to burn cars.
You know, Tony, that's a really good point. And look, the left can be vicious. Left-wing radicals can be vicious. And, you know, I remember when I was on the air in Seattle and Portland, there were a lot of leftist radicals and activists out there. And there was one organization, ELF, something Liberation Front. It was the forget. What does ELF stand for, Ian?
It's the Earth Liberation Front.
The Earth Liberation Front. And boy, their tactics were vicious. And I dealt with them many times on the air in Seattle and Portland. And they would burn an entire lot of cars. Tony, I appreciate the call. That's anti-environment if you, like, burn cars. But that's how moronic and how vicious the left can be. So, yeah, I'm not afraid to call out the left, and I've done this really throughout my career. So that's why I get so bored with this stuff about, well, you never criticize the left, you never criticize the Democrats. I'm bored with that because it's simply not true. Let's go to Mid City. Mary, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoos. I have a cold, so that's what's going on with me.
Okay, well,
anyway,
I hope you feel better.
I do too. I didn't know. I kind of wanted to vote for Charbonnet. Some of my really honest friends told me to vote for Desiree. But I'm not from here, and I see a lot of corruption in daily activities. And I, at a party, I met somebody who knew Mayor Cantrell from California, and I got the impression that she would be different. So I voted for her. And also because I met somebody who was really compassionate, and I knew she had some dishonest problems. But I was talking to somebody who was very compassionate, nothing to do with Cantrell, but I started extrapolating. I thought, I'm going to forgive Cantrell. She's going to be a good person. I voted for her. She was excellent during Hurricane Ida and during COVID. And she followed Jennifer Evagno's advice, espoused everything she said. I thought she was wonderful. But then I started hearing things like, and then the way she treated Lauren Daigle just was too much. She said she's not one of ours. And Mayor Cantrell is not one of ours, as far as I'm concerned. I just listened and I started thinking. And so I decided to sign the recall. And I've approached both white and black people about it. And a white lady told me, well, we've had bad mayors before, so what's your problem? Well, it's time to stop it, whatever it was in the past. And then a black lady said, leave that woman alone. And I thought, I can't deal with this mentality in this town, you know. But so I was glad that I signed the recall, and I'm very glad I signed it. And I believe she fooled around, maybe bribed somebody or blackmailed somebody in the count. I really don't think that... we should have lost the recall. That's all I have to say.
All right, Mary. Oh, Mary, I appreciate the call. For somebody to say, well, we've had bad mayors before, really explains it all, doesn't it? And for somebody to say, leave that lady alone. If that was an African-American person, there's that tendency to stand by those who look like you when they don't deserve to be defended. This is not about race. This is about behavior. And if those African Americans would criticize a Caucasian, a white person, for doing the same thing, then shame on them for standing by the mayor just because she's black. Because the mayor is hurting the citizens of New Orleans, and the majority of the citizens of New Orleans are African American. So Mayor Cantrell is hurting the African American population more than she's hurting me. Seriously, she's hurting them more than she's hurting me. So why is this somebody that you would stand by just because of race? Ian, do we have a couple of text messages?
Yeah, we got some time here. Let's see. Let's do one about the mayor. Here's one that says, first, I never voted for Cantrell, but if the mayor paid for the travel before March 9th, then the travel is not against the travel restriction.
Well, could she have gotten a refund? I mean, look, I think that's an excuse. I mean, I think that is an, the plans were already made. Maybe the trip was paid for in advance. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But even if it was paid for in advance, it still could have been canceled. The mayor knew. She knew she was breaking the new rule by the city council. And so shame on the city council if the city council doesn't punish her.
Here's a text from G. G says, the city council need to use the Musk method, cancel her city credit cards, or like Musk, reduce the limit to $1.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem, and one of the things, and, you know, Ed Chervenak, the political pollster and political science professor from UNO, is quoted in an article on our website, WWL.com. There's an article there, and he says, we'll see if this attitude of entitlement continues, and the city council will have to determine what they can do. But one thing that they could do would be to cut off her spending, would be to financially penalize the mayor's office by cutting off funding But who does that ultimately hurt? I mean, wouldn't that ultimately hurt the businesses of New Orleans? It would hurt her constituents, and her constituents, I guess, in some ways deserve to be hurt, even though they all didn't vote for her. But, you know, at some point, I mean, I hate to say it, but at some point the message has to be sent to the mayor, you're not going to get away with this. And this is one thing, but it's all these little things adding up, and it's adding up to equal a mayor who doesn't seem to care about the city. And I don't want businesses, I don't want citizens hurt by this. If the city council can use, as Shervinek says, the power of the purse, they could financially penalize the mayor's office. If they can do that and businesses and citizens are not hurt, do it. I mean, I would crush her. But there are people on that city council, as I said yesterday, who want to run for mayor. And if they don't do something about this, they will be held accountable for not doing something that they could have done when they were on the city council. All right, if you want to join us with the comments, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're coming back with more of your comments. And, you know, I can't help but think that this is probably a song that Mayor Cantrell is just singing to herself. Because Mayor Cantrell is just, again, so egotistical, she doesn't see anything else around her except herself. You know, it's just a shame that she looked at being mayor as an opportunity to travel and to live the life of luxury. And you know, I'm not going to tell somebody how to grieve, but I've never seen anybody in public life so quickly step aside and put aside the death of a spouse. I'm not saying anything beyond that. I've just never seen anybody in public life so diminish the death of a spouse and move on. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, we're talking about Mayor Cantrell defying the city council and going on a trip to a conference that she really didn't have to go to. And again, I remind you that Cantrell believes that she's traveling for the citizens of New Orleans, but she never seems to come back and tell us what she learned. She never seems to come back and tell us how her trip around the world or wherever, how her trip benefited the citizens of New Orleans. That's what's so pathetic about it, and it leads me and many to believe that she's just traveling to have fun, and she's really not being the mayor of our city. Let's go to Chris in Metairie. Chris, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey. Yeah, can you hear
Chris?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, man, I was going to make a suggestion about maybe calling a radio station wherever the mayor's at and explain the problem to them, and maybe they've seen her in the vicinity.
Yeah, I wonder we could call a station in D.C., wonder if they've seen the mayor around. I have a feeling they're not really looking for her. Their eyes are not, out there looking for her. There's so many other things to look for when you're in D.C. when it comes to politicians that may be participating in questionable behavior that I don't think they'd be focused on Cantrell. But that's an interesting idea. Chris, I'm glad you called the show. Let's go to Richard in New Orleans. Richard, you're on WWL.
Hey, this is the question I have with all of this Cantrell stuff. Is she doing something criminal? Bring charges like us. She doing civil? Bring a suit against us. You know, I think we got too much going on around the city. The city is doing good. I don't see what she's missing out on black people. But I do want to say race is a part of our everyday makeup. And you got to realize this. Racism is well and alive in America. Policies are racist today as we speak. You know, and we got things going on with Jeff Landry, with his one of five people because they say something about him. Freedom of speech, America, New Orleans, freedom of speech. Your First Amendment right is under assault. The brother that's being Khalil, that's being transferred, he's from where he invented in Louisiana that you took from New York because they saying bogus things about the brother. You know, I'm a Muslim and I'm a black man. And I'm going to stand up for both. And I'm going to stand up for my city. See, I'm one of those who understand what's going on in the city.
I don't think you should stand up for anybody, black or Muslim,
who does something wrong. No, I don't stand up for nobody that's wrong. Get me? Okay. I want you to understand that. because I don't want to get no misconception. I was a convicted felon. I told you I was wrong when I done what I did, and I went and paid my dues to society, came back out. I'm a homeowner. I got three properties, Sahel, New Orleans. I got in across the river on the West Bank. But the thing of it is, Stu, we got to get out of this notion, brother. We got some serious stuff going on in Washington when you mentioned Washington. Elon Muscolini is a low-down dog. His group is not the dog. They the dog. And the thing about it is that we got these terrorists on us, man. We got freedom of speech on us, man. Taxes and terrorists. Man, and the lady saying something yesterday about global warming. People, we got much better fish, bigger fish to fry. You understand? And we got to wake up, period. Blacks,
well,
whites,
Rashard,
it doesn't matter.
You know,
because I want to say one other thing. You got to understand this, Scoop. White people are voting for white people. So black people, y'all showing the damn better vote for the right black people. Not Byron Donald. Not those grifter blacks. Tim Scott. You understand? You vote for people that's going to do something for your community. Just because they black don't mean you should get their support. And damn it, I mean, just because they're white and Latino don't mean y'all should vote for their asses neither if they not right.
All right, Rashard, I'm glad you had a chance to talk about, let's see, race, freedom of speech, taxes, tariffs, Elon Musk, global warming, and white people only voting for white people, or the suggestion that white people support white people. Obama would never have been president if it weren't for white people. I mean, that's a simple fact. Obama would not have been president if it would not have been for white people. So I don't buy your argument. And I don't buy your argument that race is... I know that there's racism. I talk about it all the time. I know that there are big things to deal with in our city. But when you have a leader that is not paying attention to her voters, her constituents, the people who put her in office, when you have a mayor who's taking advantage of the power that she has, I think it's time to call out that person. Not because she's black, but because of her behavior. All right, I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're going to come back with more here on WWL. And still to come, I want to talk about this judge that is blocking Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution. I mean, is it really that difficult to find a way to kill somebody? I mean, a prisoner, somebody on death row, is it really that difficult to kill somebody? I mean, what about fentanyl? I mean, look at all the people dying from fentanyl. And I think that's just kind of a, you know, you go night-night. You go night-night forever kind of thing. I mean, I find it difficult that they can't find a way to kill somebody. And then this business about it has to be humane. Okay, well, a lot of these ways are more humane than in the past, but how humane does the death penalty really have to be? I mean, we're talking about death. How humane does that have to be? I mean, I have ambivalent feelings about the death penalty. Anyway, we'll talk more about this coming up. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1983, Run DMC released their debut single. It was this song, It's Like That. I'm Scoot. We'll talk about the death penalty here in Louisiana and around the country. And we'll talk about Trump's attempt to make Canada the 51st state. Is California a state? I think so. Anyway, that's coming up next.